Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We'll start reading from verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck, and choked him to death. Is that what it said? That's the translation that those that believe in honor killings use. No, you see, he kissed him. And actually, it means he covered him with kisses, I think Darby translates it. He kissed him ardently. He made him feel really welcome. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto the servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder brother was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked him what these things might be. He said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. He was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and treated him. He answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I slave for thee. That's what the translation should be. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet you never gave me even a kid, a goat, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, you've killed for him the fatted calf. He said unto him, son, you are ever with me, and all I have is yours. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Now this part of a parable, three-set parable in this chapter that the Lord spoke, often referred to as the parable of the prodigal son. You know, the word prodigal means wasteful, because he went out and wasted his father's substance. It's also been called the parable of the compassionate father. And that's true as well. It also can be called the parable of the self-righteous elder brother, because we see him prominently in this chapter. In fact, if you look at the very first verse of this chapter, you see that that's probably the main intention that the Lord was bringing there. Look at verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans, tax collectors and sinners, for to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. That's what prompted the parable. And we'll see in the story how those that represent the tax collectors and sinners are like the younger son. And those that represent the Pharisees, the religious people, the people that were good in their own eyes, how they look down on others. It's like the elder brother. But we also see the heart of God, the heart of the Lord Jesus, who receives sinners and ate with them. Now let's look at the story. The younger brother, verse 12, says to his father, "Father, give me what I deserve. You know, give me the portion of goods. Give me the inheritance that you're going to give me when you die. I want it now." That's what he was saying to his father. It shows in the heart of the younger brother a spirit of ungratefulness for what he had with his father. A spirit of entitlement. "You owe this to me." It was recently a case where children sued their parents for not raising them well, for not raising them right. You know, and they don't stop to think about how your mom and dad take care of you all the time. You know, your dad works so that you have food, and your children, you don't go out and work so you can have food. It's always there on the table, and your mom's always providing it. And then you have all these clean clothes. Somebody said, "I have a magic drawer in my house." The magic drawer was clean clothes. I always use up all these clothes and get them all dirty. And by magic, when I go to the same drawer, there are all those clothes. And they're all nice and clean and neat. And you forget how they got there. Didn't get there by magic. Got there by mom. And the cooking, my mom doing all that, and dad providing for you. And here this son, he didn't have any gratitude towards his father. You see, he didn't like all the rules in his house. He always had to listen to mom and dad. They're always telling him what to do. And when he was young, he said, "Oh, I can't wait to get away from my family. To do whatever I want. Nobody to tell me what to do and what I have to do. Because I don't like being told what I have to do." And you see, in his heart, he was already in the far country. He wanted to go far away, but he had to have money. So, I'll get my dad to give me what I deserve, what he's going to give me when he dies now. But he was already in the far country in his heart. And you know why he went to the far country? Why didn't he just go next door? Because in the far country, nobody would know him. His family wouldn't see what he was going to do. And so he thought, "I can do whatever I want. Nobody's going to say a bad word about me. It won't get back to my parents how I'm living. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to do whatever I want." And that's what the devil tempts you. Devil tempts you to think, "Oh, it would be so much better when I don't have my mom and dad always bossing me around, telling me what to do, and I can do my own will. I'll have a great time. I'll eat ice cream all day long. And nobody there to tell me I can't have any ice cream." That's what the devil tempts you. Oh, we find out when he gets there, the far country is far different than what the devil tempts you. But you know what? There's a secret. If you want mom and dad to give you what you want, you know what the best secret is? Obey your mom and dad in what they tell you. Especially when they tell you to do something that you don't want to do. Do it anyway. Obey them. Because you know what? They will notice that they can trust you because you're obedient. And because they know that you're obedient and they can trust you, they'll give you more freedoms. They'll let you do more things that you want to do. Even when you're not when they're not watching, they know they can trust you with it. You see, he wanted to go to the far country because he didn't want his father to see what he was doing. Because the devil had put into his heart to do sinful things. To be like maybe friends that you know, oh, their parents let them do anything. So-and-so can do it. All my friends from school, they can do it. Why can't I? But your parents are looking out for your good. The enemy wants to get you away from your mom and dad so he can bring you down to the pig's pen. This young man didn't believe. He went to the far country. He ended up in the pig's pen. Well, he had plenty of money. All that his father had worked for, that he had given him. He had lots of friends. Let me tell you, in the world, you'll have lots of friends who will help you spend your money. Until you run out of money. Until you run out of money. And then you'll run out of friends. And that's what happened with this young man. He went to the far country, wasted his substance, it says, on riotous living. It's interesting, the word for riotous, the origin of the word, comes from a word that means salvation, but when you put an A or an alpha in front of it, it means no salvation. And although the origin of words don't always give you the full meaning, current meaning of the word, a lot of times they carry a picture to it that helps you kind of understand. He was living in a way that would lead him to no salvation. Abandoned to do his own pleasure, to please himself, and nobody would tell him what to do. And nobody could persuade him to do otherwise. But it was a way that maybe seemed right to him. But the scripture says the end of it is the way of death. We were recently reminded how the devil goes about seeking whom, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Some friends of ours, their daughter, young girl in her early 20s, committed suicide. Because she decided to make decisions that maybe she thought was right. But she got involved with what everybody else was doing. Alcohol, drugs. Soon found out there was no meaning in life in the way she was living. And she took her own life. That's what the devil wants to do. That's why he wants to get you out of the protection of your parents and your family. And this son, he went to that far country when he spent all, a famine came in the land, and it says he began to be in want. You see, if he would have learned Psalm 23 and verse 1, sit at it this morning in the remembrance meeting, the Lord is my, if he had learned that the Lord was his shepherd, he would have learned, I shall not want. But you see, when you take your, when you decide you're not going to follow the shepherd, you're going to follow your own way, eventually the famine comes in the land and you'll be in want. And all your friends will abandon you. And even the ones, he says he joined himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him out to feed the pigs. And he didn't even give him enough to, couldn't even eat what the pigs were eating. He wanted what the pigs were eating. And you know, he's writing to Jews here. And the Jews, they consider pigs unclean. This was as low as you can get. And sometimes God has to bring us low to realize how good we had it. To learn, wow, I wasn't even thankful when I was in my father's house. When I had all. I was so abundant. I went out full. Now I'm empty, like Naomi said in the Bible. Comes back. But you know what it says there? He came to himself. It's a good thing come to yourself. Sit back and look at yourself. Say, how have I gotten into this mess? I did this myself. I'm to blame. I thought I knew what life was like, should it be. And all it brought me was death and sorrow and emptiness. But you know what? He thought about the father. It's a good thing he didn't think about the older brother. I don't think he would ever come back if the father was dead and the older brother was running the show. But he thought about the father. Thought about the love of the father. And how he had sinned against him. And he said, I'm going to go back. And I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against before heaven and you. And I'm worthy to become your son. But you notice he doesn't just say, I've sinned against my father. I've sinned against heaven. You know why you can never run away from God? You might be able to get away from your parents or those that know you and they don't see what you're doing. You might even be able to do sneaky things when you're in your house when mom and dad aren't watching. God is watching. God sees. You think you got away with it. You never get away with it. God sees. And repentance means we confess to God that you saw my sin. You saw my disobedience. You saw my anger. You saw my hatred. You saw my heart that was in the far country and how wrong I was and how guilty I am. And you come to yourself and you confess it to the Lord. Because here, not only do we have the heart of the younger brother told out, we have the heart of the father told out. You know, a couple of verses that struck me reading in the last week or two in Isaiah. Three times in Isaiah, he talks about the Lord high and lifted up. In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah got a view of the Lord, it says that he saw him on a throne, high and lifted up. And then in Isaiah 52, where he talks about the servant of the Lord, before he goes into Isaiah 53, he says, my servant, verse 13, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled. It's the same phrase, high and lifted up. And then in chapter 57 of Isaiah, verse 15, he says this, for thus says the high and lofty one, same phrase in the Hebrew, high and lifted up, that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. With who? With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble. To revive the heart of the contrite ones. See, the Father was at the same kind of heart that God has. He's almighty. He's high and lifted up in holiness and greatness. And yet, who does he dwell with? Those that humble themselves. Those that come to God with a broken heart and a contrite heart. Who recognize their sin and ingratitude and ungratefulness. And turn back and come to him. That's the kind of reception you'll have as this father runs to the son. Throws his arms around him, kisses him. And he goes to confess, I've sinned against heaven, against you. And the father kind of stops him in the middle and says, and he came, you know, with a tattered clothes, perhaps no sandals, dirty looking, disheveled. Bring the best robe. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Let's rejoice and make merry. My son was dead and is alive. You say, how could the Father have such love and compassion upon him? You see, the elder brother, as the story goes on, he resented the younger brother. When he heard what the father had done, he resented the father. He considered the father prodigal. The prodigal father. Wasteful. Because he wasted his grace on an unworthy son who didn't deserve his mercy and grace. But that's the way God is. The world considers, the self-righteous of the world, who think they're better than others, consider grace a waste on people who don't deserve it. But that's what grace is. It's God lavishing on us what we do not deserve. You say, why does the father love that younger son so much? You know why? Because he invested so much in that son. Do you remember the story of Jonah? God told Jonah, go to Nineveh, preach to them. And Jonah's, Nineveh was east. Jonah said, I'm going west. Because I know that God is a merciful God, and I don't want to see him show mercy on Nineveh. And you remember the story how he was swallowed by the big fish, the whale, and then eventually got spit out, and Jonah himself becomes a sign to the Ninevites that you better repent or else. And they repented. But Jonah was upset that they repented and God didn't destroy them. And he went outside the city to see what would happen. And remember the story about the shade, the gourd that came up overnight and shaded him, and Jonah rejoiced in it, and then it perished, and Jonah was all upset. And God said, you cared for this gourd, and you didn't do a thing for it. You invested nothing in it, and yet you had a care for it. Shouldn't I care for this city, Nineveh? 150,000 people who don't even know right from wrong, good from evil. Shouldn't I have mercy on them? God invests in us so much that he gave his only son to die to provide salvation. And this father invested in his son and loved him. And when he repented and humbled himself, he welcomed him with open arms. But you see, if you're like the elder brother, and that's what this parable was like. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were the religious people, the holy people, the ones who considered themselves righteous. And there's Jesus welcoming these people who were sinners and even eating with them. And they complained and murmured about him because they invested nothing in them. They cared nothing for them. That's why they complained and murmured. We often see that same thing. People, even in an assembly, if you invest nothing in the assembly, you'll be the first ones to murmur and complain. But if you invest in the lives of people and you care for people, you won't be so quick to point the finger and complain. Because that's what this elder brother was like. He invested nothing in his brother. Yeah, the brother didn't deserve grace. Absolutely right. But he didn't care for him. He thought he was better. And in fact, when your spirit is based upon your good works and all about you, you never come to yourself. You can never enjoy seeing sinners saved. Because you're earning, your whole attitude is one of earning God's favor. See what he says to his father? All these years, I've been a slave for you. And you didn't even give me a goat to rejoice with my friends. And yet, your son, not my brother, your son comes and you kill the fatted calf and you have this big party. His spirit was one I deserved better than what you gave me. That's why the Lord had to tell these Pharisees and scribes and religious people, you know, the publicans and sinners, they're closer to heaven than you are. They'll enter into the kingdom before you. Because it's easier to show them they need a Savior. They need to be saved than you. Because you think you're righteous. You think you're better than others. You think that by earning things, when works is a way of salvation to you, you're just a slave. Just a slave trying to earn God's favor. Let me tell you, you will never earn God's favor. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can always find somebody who's sinned worse than us and think we're better than them. But your heart is the same. And we have to confess not only what we do, but what we wanted to do, but couldn't. Because God provided others to constrain us. The elder brother, his heart was the same as the younger brother. But he had a restraint. Well, he wanted this or that. Or he wanted the praise of men. There were other motivations than to realize that he needed the same salvation that the younger brother needed. And you know what? He hears the music and dancing, but he refuses to go in. That's why some people say that hell and heaven is shut from the outside. That people refuse to go in and take God's offer of salvation. It's not that God wants anybody to go to hell. Wants anybody to be lost. His arms are open wide to all. But people refuse to come in. They even hear testimonies of how good it is to be saved. And they refuse the gospel of the grace of God. They refuse to see themselves as sinners. They won't sing Amazing Grace. There are churches that sing that, that tell you that. You can't sing Amazing Grace because it says that saved a wretch like me. That's bad for my self-esteem, they say. You know, when I look at my Bible, I see that God tells us to love God, to love others better than myself, as myself. But it assumes that I already love myself. He doesn't have to tell us to love ourselves. Like he says, if you follow me, you better hate yourself and put me first. Because the self-esteem dogma is such a lie. It's like somebody said, if there's something about you yourself that you don't like, and you say, oh, I hate myself because I'm not smart. Well, you see, if you really hated yourself, you would be glad you weren't smart. You know, if you really hated yourself, you'd be glad that's true of you. It's because we love ourselves so much that we can't stand the fact that we're not perfect in every way. It's self-occupation and self-love. And I'll tell you, what leads to destruction and to confusion of mind is self-occupation. Look at all these people going to therapists, going to mental institutes. You know what they have in common? Totally self-absorbed. Totally self-occupied. Self, self, self. That's the first way to lead to destruction. And God's Word tells us the way of salvation is to have an end of looking at yourself. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. The things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You want to be a part of that music and dancing. You want to be a part of that symphony and choruses of heaven. Then do away with yourself. turn to the Lord. And if you're young, don't follow the temptations of the world that says, oh, it would be so much better in the far country. The far country only looks good when you're not there. When you get there, oh, and you come back, there's still a lot of scars left over. Far better to be like Isaiah, be like Joseph in the Bible, be like Timothy, that come to the Lord when you're young and follow the Lord all your life, and God will bless you. And you'll never, ever regret it. They that wait upon the Lord shall not be ashamed. Because we have a wonderful Heavenly Father. We have a wonderful Savior. We have a wonderful salvation. Shall we close in prayer? Lord, we thank you that you have compassion and love us, and as the world thinks, waste your grace on us. We know we don't deserve it, Lord. We thank you that you love us anyway. You know all about us. And we thank you that that gospel message of love for the whole world still goes forth in this day of grace. We ask your blessing on it. In your name. Amen.